home for NASCAR. We're Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Now, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studio, it's Jamie Kyle and Scott Webb.
And Jason Hildebrand.
Hello and welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. It's Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems. Whether you're listening to us on 101.3 The Buzz or the TuneIn app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Here's what's coming up on today's show. We'll discuss this past week's race at Dover. We'll hear from the winner. Yes, it's not a repeat. That's Kyle Busch. We have tickets to give away for Charlotte. Good weekend to go to Charlotte. Listen to find out how you can win. Later in the show, we'll discuss this week's race at Charlotte, as well as give you our power rankings and picks to win. We got all that and so much more on Racing Talk Radio, presented by Owosse Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle. To my radio left, Jason Hildebrand rejoins the show after a brief hiatus last week. Good to have you back,
Jason. Good to be here, brother.
Across the table, it's the ugly mug, who quickly turned me down when we started, because I myself considered myself loud.
Yeah, when you can, pretty loud. Yeah, when you consider yourself loud, that means you're loud.
It was good. But, you know, to have a great producer like the one and only Scott Webb.
I don't know about great. Well, a great producer would have checked the volume levels before or they actually went live.
We normally do that. It was kind of a, you know.
Do we?
A 10-second thing. Must yeah, normally you do, because I try to talk really low so you'll turn me down a little bit, not a lot like you normally do. So, anyway, what's been going on?
Not much, man. Well, did you have a good weekend? Enjoy the race?
I did have a good weekend. Enjoy the race. I didn't get to bring the caramel M&Ms today. You know,
it's a little disappointing. I've gotten used to last week having caramel. I was really looking forward to it, and that is that could negatively impact my my predicted winner for later in the show.
That is true. Jason, I don't know how you couldn't predict the 18 or the 78 going forward.
Right, it'd be tough to go against them. I mean, common sense says, hey, you're one of these two guys is going to roll out there and take a victory. So,
I mean, they really could have every race now sponsored by Toyota, as nobody buys into my Toyota's got the fastest car out there hype, as we found out last week. And
well, Brad Keselowski lying. Knows.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm on the two train as far as trying to figure out what they can do to kind
can
of
you,
fix
can you
things.
Be on the two train and be on the 18 and 78 train as
if
well?
If you noticed, no. I jumped back on the 48 train last week and put him on my power rankings, and what happened?
Well, I mean, conveniently, third. That'd be going to Dover, so go shocker there.
Yeah, and I got a shocker coming up this week.
Yeah.
For Charlotte, as I think the crazy thing is considering the 18 and 78 have been pretty dominant, I guarantee you one of those two cars are in all of our winners or picks to win for Charlotte. So
it only makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go out there and pick Jeffrey Earnhardt. I mean, he hits the
go ahead. That was funny.
I mean, that was awesome. I mean, that was, you know, absolutely awesome. Red flags the race because he hits the sand barrel.
It's a good thing they weren't filled with water like they used to be.
That would have been great.
It was awesome.
That was good. So stay tuned later in the show. We're going to tell you how you can win tickets to watch the, I'm sure, Toyota 400, Toyota 500 this weekend at Charlotte. That's not really what it is, but it sounds good at the time. But we'll give you a phone number. You can call. And you can get those tickets. If you've never been to Charlotte, Jason, I know you and I have been there. Scott, you haven't been there, or have you?
I have been to Charlotte.
Cool. So you know the type of track it is. A lot of things to do around the track. It's kind of the center, really, of the media hub for NASCAR.
It is. That's great. You know, NASCAR.
Yeah, I mean, all the cars,
all the teams are there.
Or around there somewhere, Mooresville, you know, all those areas right around Charlotte. And the track's actually in Concord, which is right northeast a little bit of Charlotte. So really centrally located, and that's where, you know, the NASCAR Hall of Fame is. So big whole lot to do over there.
Definitely is, and you can actually make a weekend out of it or whatever and visit some of those shops on Saturday as they race on Sunday. So, all right, let's get to about said Pocono, Dover. Oh, I don't know why I said that. But Dover this past weekend, man, you've got to feel bad for Chase Elliott. The guy has, you know, probably one of the best races he's had at Dover. He's running really well. I don't know about you, but I think once the spotter told me the 18 got around the second place car, you got to think Chase probably went downhill from there.
I mean, you're sitting there watching it. And I was watching it at my dad's house, and mom and dad was watching it. And I kept telling him, I said, he's toast. I mean, you know, there's probably 30 laps to go, and here comes Kyle. I said, he's done. You know, there's no way around it. You saw him keep closing the gap a little bit, and then when Chase got up on the lap traffic, and it was over at that point.
It was. Scott, you know, one of the things that I read a stat on Twitter this past week or whatever, and who knows if it's true because it's Twitter, right? But how long it took Bill Elliott to get his first win, how many second-place finishes he had and stuff like that. Is this kind of the maturity process for Chase Elliott? And, I mean, you know, he's got to hate it really bad, but it's part of growing up.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've seen this evolution with a lot of the drivers in the sport. You know, it takes them. I mean, it's hard to just step into the sport and just start winning a bunch of races. I mean, look at what Kyle Larson's done in his third year. This is only Elliott's second full year of running. And to be as competitive as they've been and to be as strong and have as many opportunities they have, you know, sometimes it's hard to win these races. There's, you know, 20 to 25 of the best drivers in the world out there competing, and it's hard to go out there and win. So you learn, and you get closer and closer and closer. And ultimately, what happens in sports, and we see this all the time, is you catch a break, you win your first one, then winning your second, third, fourth, and fifth one become that much easier. And then you look at somebody with a talent like Kyle Busch. I mean, I don't know if they should have won that race or not, but he just had the confidence to go out there and do it. Elliott's still learning, but they're much different places in their career. So I think we need to be patient and just give Elliott some time to kind of figure some things out. But once that floodgate opens, it's going to open, and he's going to win a bunch of races.
Big time. Let's talk about the Hendrick Chevys, because they seem to unload, Jason, a little faster than normal this past weekend. You had the 88, which we talk about all the time, never gets off the truck fast, was fast. Chase was there, and then you had Jimmy in the top three. Is it just because of the track, or do you think maybe that they found a little something for the playoffs?
I think it's the track. To be totally honest, when you've got the cars out there in one garage consistently running better than they have in the past, I'm looking at the track.
Well, I mean, you would start there. Now, if they follow it up again this week with a strong run at a mile and a half Charlotte racetrack, then you can start to say maybe this team has turned the corner. You know, I think we all probably expect the Toyotas to migrate back towards the front again this week, but it was positive that they showed up fast. I mean, Junior talked about it all weekend long. He was fast from the get-go. So if that's something they can build upon and maybe they've hit something, then you got to look at Chase Elliott and Jimmy Johnson and what they're capable of doing in the chase. Now it's just a matter of advancing between the sections. Now we're in they used to have some funny name for it, the Challenger section or whatever it was, but the second round, now you're just trying to advance to the third round and trying to give yourself an opportunity in Miami. So this week, I think, will be telling. You know, Talladega is really anybody's race, but I think these bookends of these two tracks, these 2 mile-and-a-half tracks at Charlotte and Kansas, will really tell if the Hendrick team has really found something.
I think what you'll see this weekend, guys, is I think you'll see the 48 and the 24 have really good runs. I'm not so certain about the 5 and the 88.
Well, and that's been the whole year, pretty much.
And that's why I'm going with it. I think it was track-specific last week. Yeah. I think you'll see that mile-and-a-half good runs come from Jimmy Johnson and Chase Elliott.
And because they're good there. So let's talk about the big battle we did have. This was the cutoff race, so we had 4 drivers that were eliminated. We'll talk about them in just a second. But you look down to where you had Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Ryan Newman. Jason kind of reminded me of, I guess, 2 years ago when Earnhardt was trying to get to a certain point so he could put Jamie McMurray out at Dover, and got to that point and got through.
Followed each other around there at the last. I mean, you know, McMurray just couldn't catch him.
Right.
In a race that Kevin Harvick had to win
to get
just
through.
To advance to get through. So
it's crazy. But you had Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Ryan Newman in that position. I think 2 points kind of separated, a 4-point total, but 2 points separated or whatever from one getting in and the other. Both of them seemed like crap. Ryan Newman at the end kind of played a pivotal role, I think, in who won the race. So, I mean, that type of racing going into a cutoff, that's something we got to expect going forward.
And I think it's good. It's another side story from what you see as far as the top two cars fighting for the win. You're also seeing somebody trying to get in and not let Ryan Newman get those extra couple of points there. I think it's fun to watch. It's not just that one storyline coming out of Dover. It's multiple storylines, and that being another.
Absolutely. And so, Scott, we saw the nice encounter after the race. Who knew Jeff Gordon was there until Chase got in the lead, and then you saw him up in the pit box. But just typical Jeff Gordon. Got to go start something with Ryan Newman afterwards. Kind of comical.
Well, comical, yeah. I think he was – I think they were all pretty frustrated. You know, and again – I mean, you're not going to get anybody to pull over, especially with the race leader.
And he shouldn't. No, I mean,
you know, sometimes once you get past, you know, once the leader passes them, then they tend to let some of the other cars go by a little quicker. But you're always going to race the leader hard, whether it's trying to stay in a lap, trying to get a lap back. Mm-hmm. So you don't ever know what's going to happen. So you can understand, you know, Newman being out there and running hard. You can also understand the flip side of that Newman probably was at least a part of the reason, because, you know, Elliott didn't run the line maybe that he wanted to run because Newman was occupying some of that. Well, part of that was, you know, Bush drove a little better and was able to maneuver traffic a little better. But you can definitely see both sides of the argument, and it is a little comical, you know, because what does Gordon, I know Gordon is very involved in that team, but you know, you're a commentator now. Stay out of that sort of stuff. You don't need to be out there causing a controversy about a sport you're just a commentator in anymore.
Yeah, you know, you see it. What would happen if Stenhouse loses a couple of spots out there?
Right.
And Newman would have pulled. I'm sorry, I'm on the side of Newman here. You go out there and you're competing to get into the next
especially segment. As close as they were.
Yeah, I mean, there's
anything could have happened. You know, if somebody blows a tire there at the end. You know, one or two points is you know, that's nothing. I don't have any problem with Newman. Do I think he was the reason why that Chase Elliott lost? I think he was a major factor in why he lost. But I don't have any problem with what he was doing.
But you also
that's racing.
But you also got to think, you know, before Chase got to Newman, he was having to pass multiple lapped cars that were down. Kind of got everything clustered up there, so he was having to navigate through that, and then Newman, and it was just a battle between there, and here comes Kyle, and it's the end of the story.
Again, I think the point that both of you reiterated was if Newman wasn't running for that last spot, I think you see a different outcome. I think maybe he moves over at that point to try not to get in the way of something like that happening, but as you know, Ricky Stenhouse was running behind Danica Patrick. Right? So, yep. You know, Danica Patrick wrecks, and Newman's better on restarts. If he goes a lap down, that puts him in a bad situation. He's not going to be able to beat Ricky. So there were so many intangibles there for that to happen. I still don't think that it was right of Jeff Gordon. I think, Scott, you said you're in the booth. So,
well, I mean, you're in the booth. I mean, what business? I know there's probably – he has ownership, I think, an ownership stake in that team. So you can understand a little bit of that. But, you know, you're Jeff Gordon. I mean, you're on the Mount Rushmore of race winners.
Here's my deal. Tell Chase to protect his lead.
Right.
He put up no fight. Right. I mean, I'm sorry, but he put up
and
no
Kyle
fight.
And Kyle Busch even mentioned that. Said he could have pulled up and broke my momentum, but he didn't.
He never did. And you blame 24 with that.
Part of that is the learning process. Mm-hmm. And as you – there's a difference between holding on and being aggressive and trying to win, and there's a fine line that you have to learn in the sport, and that's part of the maturity, you know, the maturation of what Chase Elliott is going through. Eventually he'll become more he'll feel more comfortable in that role of being out in front closing out a race. But you got to remember, 21 years old, he's still learning the game. Yeah, he'll get it. I'm not too worried about that.
But I put more of the blame on him, I guess,
absolutely,
than Ryan Newman out of the situation. You know, Ryan Newman's not just going to give him the race.
No, and that's goes around the garage area. Everybody knows Ryan Newman's the hardest person to pass anyway. So, you know, he was going to have to make, a special way to get around him. And when you've got Kyle Busch coming as fast as he is, you're not going to do that.
But you got to stop the freight train, baby.
You got to stop the freight train.
That's good. All right, so we got about 30, 45 seconds or whatever left in this segment. I want to know, out of the bottom four that were eliminated, Newman, Kane, Busch, Dylan, anybody surprise you getting eliminated up front?
Nope. Kurt does a little bit.
Doesn't surprise me.
But he had that real lag in the season.
The flip side of that, Jamie, is who in the top 12 do you not think deserves to be in there? I mean, look at the top 12: Truex, Kyle Busch, Larson, Keselowski, Johnson, Harvick, Hamlin, Stenhouse. I mean, you could probably make a little bit of argument for Stenhouse, but he finished eighth in that round.
Right.
You know, you got Blaney, Chiselle. He's got two victories. You got Kenseth. Jamie McMurray's been solid all year long. I don't have any problem with the 12. I think the best 12 drivers this season are in the final 12.
Without a doubt. I was basing it on, I thought Kurt was coming on the past few weeks leading up to the playoffs, and I thought he was going to pretty much, I thought he was going to have a solid run, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that momentum. I think if Kurt Busch gets that win late in the year instead of the Daytona 500, he's
he was garbage for a long time after that win.
Garbage. I mean, flat, hot, stinking pile of garbage.
It's the most adjectives I've ever heard put in front of garbage before, so that was good. All right, when we come
back. Stretching the vocabulary today.
We'll hear from our winner, Kyle Busch. We'll also talk about the Monster Energy Series point standings and tell you how you can win a couple tickets to Charlotte this weekend. We'll be right back.
We'll be back faster than a hot lap at Daytona. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. We're back and talking more NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios and Racing Talk Radio. Presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. I'm Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb. Don't know what this music choice is. We're going to have to...
What's wrong with Strutter?
Wrong with Strutter by Kiss?
I mean...
1974.
Maybe I was born in 77. I don't know. I mean...
Geez. That's not Strutter 78 that came out on double platinum. That's actually the Strutter off the 74.
Hildebrand knows a little too much about music.
He's got his Kiss game on today.
Sorry to say.
I know.
I don't know if I want to go there. All right, let's get to it. I want to talk about my guy, Kyle Busch. Listen,
guy this week.
Exactly. One of the things that I did notice, and this is the sign of a good driver, and love him or hate him, my goodness, a lot of people hate him, and there's some people who love him. But, I mean, when you think about it, it seemed like during the end of the race there, he was not going to catch. The kind of the differential between the two kind of steadied, and he wasn't moving forward or backwards, but it was there. But he... It talked about in Victory Lane how he changed his line and started going higher and getting the momentum off the top and coming to get him. And that's really, guys, the sign of somebody, one, who's just not going to quit. He's going to go get the win no matter what. And if he sees somebody in front of him, kind of like Earl Barbin said about Jimmy Johnson, if he sees the front, he's going to go get there.
Without a doubt. I mean, I look at, Kyle is the best driver out there on the circuit. And, I mean,
can you record that?
The race out there, I mean, the race is never over till it's over. And, I just knew, I mean, really honestly, I mean, I had a feeling that he was going to run him down. Just the way Kyle's aggressive driving is, he wants to win races, man. I mean, he's already in the playoff in the next round, but, hey, he wants to win.
He wants to win. That's huge. And locked himself into the second round or whatever with that win as if he already wasn't in because he's won two of the three. So going forward, with the tracks coming up, and I think you'll see that in our picks, is that he's kind of a favorite moving forward throughout the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I think if you looked at our power rankings over the course of the last 8 weeks, you would believe that he's definitely one of the favorites. I mean, the guy is – we've never questioned his ability to drive a race car. Sometimes they've had some issues with speed, especially early in the year, or with finishing races because they've led a lot of laps all year long. Part of the issue people have with him is his attitude.
Yeah.
My issue with him has always been when he wins, he's everybody's best friend. Hey, let's party. Let's talk to everybody. He pouts a lot when he loses. Now some of that you'll say that's, the Jamie Kyles of this world will say, well, that's competitive fire. That's what I want to see out of my guy. I don't want anybody to be happy when they lose. Some of that is just about being a jerk. So he's pretty good at doing that.
Wow.
But you can't.
That's putting it nicely.
That is putting it nicely. That is the on-air version, the FCC allowed version of that.
I'm with
But that's not to say that he's not one of the best drivers or the best driver in the sport, because he absolutely is. And he's going to listen. Love him or hate him, you better get used to him, because he's going to be around for a long time, and he's going to win multiple championships, and he could very well be in Homestead in a few short weeks raising a trophy again.
I'll definitely get you caramel M&Ms if that happens. All right, let's hear from Kyle Busch on his second victory in the playoffs in Victory Lane.
Today was a good day. You know, just being able to execute and do a really good job. The team obviously gave me a fast race car and a good piece, although early on it kind of seemed like a bit of a struggle, and we weren't as good as we wanted to be or as good as we expected to be, but we never gave up. Kept working on it and making some good changes, some good adjustments to the car, and there at the end with that long run, I mean, for as far as Chase got out there, I wasn't sure that I'd be able to run him back down, but fortunately I did, and, you know, gave it everything I had there for those last 60 laps. I mean, I was sore, my tongue was hanging out, the car's tongue was hanging out, the right rear tire was shot, just you know, getting looser and looser as the run kind of kept going was hindering my my speed and the time that I could get there as fast as I wanted. But all in all, just a fun race, and fun to be able to put on a good show like that, even though you have the agony or the delay of how long it took me to get there, and then the pass is kind of like, oh, well, that was quick. But you know, trust me, from my standpoint, it was pretty exciting.
And kudos to Kyle Busch. He did recognize the point that, you know, it had to be bad for Chase to get that.
He's happy. Done. You know, it felt, hey.
Yeah, I hate it for you. Yeah,
yeah, I hate for you. You know, hold on, let me scoot. Hold on, let me scoot around my trophy here. yeah, it. I hate it for you. I'm disappointed that he's going to win a lot of races someday. Yeah. You know, if the flip side of that happens.
I mean, look at Ty Dillon.
Yeah.
Austin Dillon, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Wayne, I'm not talking to anybody.
Yeah.
No.
Congratulations.
See ya.
You know, the same guy that gives me the Kyle Busch stand up just sent a text with a Kyle Busch picture with a pacifier in his mouth. So as we can see, Sean Whitfield has a lot to do. except, you know, just send pictures. All right, let's move on. Time for the Monster Energy Series point standings brought to you by Stephanie Painter at Cry Like Realtors. Guys, you know, when I talk to about her every week and I sit there and say that she sells houses, she gets rid of things and stuff like that, now she's needing inventory. She's only got one house left because she sold everything she had, and that's on 1582 East Bluff Road. That's in Cleveland, Tennessee. 3,300 square feet. Get this, $339,900. Make sure you give her a call at 473-9545 or 650-9429. Scott Webb, take it away.
It's now time for your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup standings after the Apache Warrior 400. Remember, that was a cutoff race, so we reset the points. Martin Truex Jr. is your points leader, has an 18-point lead over Kyle Busch. Kyle Larson is third. Brad Keselowski, fourth. Jimmy Johnson, fifth. Kevin Harvick, sixth. Denny Hamlin, seventh. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., eighth. Ryan Blaney, ninth. Chase Elliott, tenth. Matt Kenseth, 11th. And Jamie McMurray in the 12th spot. Rounds out your championship drivers. I want you to notice that there is only a 17-point difference between 4th and 12th. So we're going to see a lot of shakeup, probably up and down, in this section of the playoffs. And that is your Monster Energy NASCAR Cup point standing.
Brought to you by Stephanie Painter, Cry Like Realtors. She sold all of her houses. It's time to get her some more. If you're thinking about selling your house, make sure you give her a call, 473-9545 or 650-9429. The last one she has right now is at 1582 East Bluff Road in Cleveland. That's 3,300 square feet. Only $339,900.
You know what you're doing.
Sound like a car salesman now. All right, so give her a call, 650-9429, and she'll get it sold. All right, let's move to a couple of news and notes. Here that we have a sad day yesterday, as one of the, I guess you call him legendary, kind of, I don't know, a difference in the sport, engine builder.
I mean, the guy just got elected to the Hall of Fame, yeah. So I would say you would call him legendary.
Well, shut up. Yeah, Hall of Famer, anyway. So Robert Yates passes away yesterday after really kind of a not so really long battle with cancer. It seems like it was announced last year, and then he kind of went downhill from there.
Yeah, it's sad, you know. And growing up, you know, I grew up, for those of you who don't know, I grew up a huge Dale Jarrett fan. That was my guy.
I don't think I knew that.
Did you not know that?
No.
Huge Dale Jarrett fan. And so I was, you know, Robert Yates was mental. I mean, Jarrett won some races before he got to Robert Yates Racing, but that's where he made his largest impact. So yeah, it was a sad day that, you know, the Yates family still has a very big impact in the sport, doing all the motors for the Ford cars. So you know, it was sad to see them get out of the sport. Obviously, sad to hear the passing of that, and you know, wish them the best, and thoughts and prayers go out to the family. But it's a name that, and we'll hear more and more about this, especially once they do Hall of Fame induction ceremony a little bit later in the year. But a sad day for the sport.
Definitely sad day for the sport. And Doug Yates or whatever is kind of carrying on that tradition with the Indians. Wow, where did I get that at? With the Indians and really has done a lot with the Roush Yates Motors. So that legacy will continue on through Doug, and can't wait to see where that goes. But definitely prayers and thoughts for the family of Robert Yates. All right, let's talk about the tickets. All right, so we all know Charlotte, Scott. Jason, probably about a, what, 7.5 hour drive, 6 hour drive, somewhere around in there?
About five.
Yeah, just depends.
Depends on which way you go, but you won't be sorry if you go because it's a great race, and it's going to be during the day, 2:15 green flag. So this is what you need to do to win these tickets. All you have to do is give us a call here at the studio, 478-8819. We'll make sure we answer the phone, at least Scott will, and we'll tell you where you can pick those up, which will probably be down at the Mix Studios. So 478-8819, call when we go to break, and you will be the winner of the tickets for Charlotte this weekend. Scott, is it Saturday and Sunday or just Sunday?
Nope, just Sunday tickets.
Just Sunday tickets, so you can go Saturday and tour all the race shops, and then you
If you want to find some find some tickets, you'll be able to find them there for Saturday. If you
Xfinity make it a tickets will probably land on the boulevard there, so you could pick those up and go. I think they're $10 a piece if you wanted to go to that on Saturday.
Yeah, and good news, it's under a five-hour drive. It's 4 hours and 58 minutes from here to Charlotte Motor Speedway.
So even better. So you can jump up the interstate and take off, or you can go 64 and have the more scenic route and go through the Ocoee and the Nantahala and get out there
that way. That's what you want to do.
So a lot of NASCAR history in the shops you can go over there and check out, too. So make sure you give us a call, 478-8819, to win the Charlotte tickets. We will be right back.
Maybe. Well, let's see if I can hit the right button, then we'll be right back.
There you go.
We'll be back before Danica Patrick changes sponsors again. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus. We're back with more NASCAR talk. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Bus.
Dover International Speedway, a.k.a. the Monster Mile here in Dover, Delaware.
Truex gets pinned in behind the Moffitt car, and here comes Kyle Larson.
Ends up keeping one eye in that rearview mirror because Dale Earnhardt Jr. is waiting and ready to pound.
There is a big volume of sand right down at the entrance of Pitt Road where Jeffrey Earnhardt has backed that car.
It will be stage win number 5 on the campaign for Brad Keselowski. Kyle Larson sees the green checkered flag, and he wins stage 2.
Elliott with the power move around the outside of Martin Truex Jr. He'll go to the lead.
Side by side. On the inside, Chase Elliott. On the outside, Kyle Busch. He will pass Chase and head back to turn number 1.
It's a late game rally for Kyle Busch to grab the lead from Chase Elliott. Kyle Busch wins at Dover. He takes the Apache Warrior 400.
Four drivers that find it over here at Dover. Ryan Newman, teammate Austin Dillon, Casey Kane, Kurt Busch.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios. It's Racing Talk Radio presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, congratulations, Johnny Taylor from Cleveland, winning the tickets to Charlotte this weekend.
Sure, Bank of America 500, man.
Bank of America. I can't mention that on the radio.
Well, that's why I said it for you.
Remember where I work?
I do. That's why I said it for you. I took one for the team there.
I appreciate you doing that. This segment's brought to you by
Astor
Suggs.
When is the Regions 500?
I don't know.
There's not one. That's right.
We choose to give our clients money and not, I'm sorry, advertising. This segment brought to you by Astor Suggs, Allstate Insurance. Call and get a quote today, 855-0334. She's my insurance agent, so make sure you call, get a quote, and guarantee you she'll be yours. All right, let's talk about the BOA 500 this Sunday, October 8th. That'll be at 2:15. They are putting the whatever they call it now.
That
the
bank, that bank that remains nameless.
All right, the 500. They're putting the JT compound or whatever stuff on the track that's supposedly going to stick better because it's in the day.
Okay,
that's
let's
what
see
I said.
If it, I mean, let's see if it works. Everybody here knows my opinion of Charlotte. I'm actually looking forward to next year when they do the road course there. So The race needs something, because it's the racing has not been great there for a number of years. And it's, you know, these mile and a half for, you know, I hate to continually complain. We're going a mini rant here, but you know, when you have 5 of the 10 races are mile and a half, and you get 2 in this section of races, man, that can be tough. I'd like to see my champion be a champion that can run at a variety of tracks. You know, Truex has shown he can do that. Kyle Busch has shown he can do that this year. Kyle Larson's shown he can do that. But you know, you'll get some specialty tracks where guys have had a way. And when you have the same type of track over and over again, especially at a track where the racing has not been great, it can be a struggle, especially when it has to compete with everything else that's going on. Being a day race now on Sunday, dealing with NFL football, you know, it's a struggle. I mean, I'll struggle to watch it. I'll be quite honest with you this weekend.
I will say, I think it's unique that they're putting it on NBC. It'll be on Channel 3. So, you know, Scott mentioned competing with football. You've got Fox and you've got CBS that's going, so you've got it on the main channel.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, how many people are going
to... I think the ratings are going
to... You know, the first 3 weeks of the playoffs, the ratings were as low as they've been since 2000. So the sport has a television problem. We've seen it, you know, it all depends on the racetrack. I'm sure next week there'll be a massive crowd at Talladega, with that being Junior's last race down there. But, you know, we've seen some issues. You know, there's some things that are going to happen at some point. They're going to have to look at the schedule. Is the season too long? Can they condense it, mix it up? Got to get something to get the excitement back in the sport. I think stage racing has been good for it. But when you're stage racing and you're running at tracks like the one we're going to see this week, where we could have, you know, 85 lap sections and 80, you know, there's a 95% chance that's going to be green flag run. You know, it's not very exciting, and the racing has become boring. They've got to find something to do, find a way to make it be a little more exciting and competitive.
And one of the telling things, guys, is, you know, we used to see, you know, you started seeing the attendance drop at some of these tracks, and it's like, you know, tickets are high, you know, people don't want to pay $125 a ticket or whatever, you know, to some of these tracks. But, you know, it's trickled down into the viewership, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Scott. You know, you go to these mile and a half, and somebody just checks out on the field, and it's just nothing but green flag from there.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it always... You know, it gets to me. You know, we used to complain when they went to the Chase format and Johnson started winning championship after championship. Well, it's because there was so many mile and a halves back in that day when he was just absolutely dominating at mile and a halves. I'd never have understood why, when you have a variety of tracks throughout the season, do we come to now? I come down to the championship and we're going to run the same type of track over and over and over again. Now, I get part of that is business and the right people owning the right tracks and maneuvering it the way they want it to roll. But at some point, you got to do what's best for the sport. It can't be what these two or three owner groups feel is best. You know, next year, it gets worse next year because we lose, even though New Hampshire is not a great race, at least it's different. We lose New Hampshire in the Chase next year, and we're adding Las Vegas. Well, yeah, the crowds have been better and all that at Las Vegas, but it's the same type of track. It's another mile and a half cookie cutter track, and I don't think it's good for the sport. At some point, everybody always talks about changing the schedule. We talk about it on this show. I hear the pundits on the TV shows talking about it. But for some reason, you know, NASCAR has been slow to make the changes, the major overhaul in the schedule that would give it more excitement. And that may mean a shorter season. And if sponsorship continues to be an issue like it's been, you may have to have a shorter season or you're not going to be able to field 40 cars. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were fielding 43 cars. Now we're struggling to get 40 cars. How much more of this how much further downhill can we go before the sport is in real trouble?
That rant was brought to you by Allstate Insurance. Esther sucks.
Sorry, I needed a drink.
Hey, you know, we could fill out a 10-week schedule pretty darn easily.
Don't you think, Jason?
Bristol, Talladega.
Don't you think if they and I know college football starts Labor Day weekend, mm-hmm, yeah, but don't you think if the NASCAR season, the championship of the NASCAR season, ended Labor Day weekend, it would be perfect because it would fall right into. It's hard to compete with football on Saturday and Sunday. It doesn't matter if they're running Saturday night, Sunday night. If they're not going to take up and do some. Now, if they want to move that to do some midweek races, man, I think you could see some potential for extending it. But if you end the season at Labor Day and start it right after, the Sunday after the Super Bowl, that's plenty of time to get to the tracks that you need to get. Now, we may have to eliminate it. We've said on this show over and over and over again, we don't need to be going to Pocono twice. There ain't no reason to go to Pocono twice. I love Michigan. Michigan's not they run fast as heck there, but it's not great racing. They don't need to be running twice at Michigan. You know, there's some tracks out there we can get rid of. We'd like to see some of the older school tracks come back. There's things they could do that would help the sport. But, you've got to have TV partners that are willing to listen to that. You've got to have track owners that are willing to listen to that. But ultimately, NASCAR at some point is going to have to make a stand and say, this is what we're going to do. And we'll see. You know, I don't know what the best solution is. But obviously, at the rate you're losing sponsorship and viewers, at some point you got to look in the mirror and say, hey, we're not doing something right. We're going to have to change something dramatically. I think eliminating some of the races, ending it earlier in the year, would be the best possible thing for the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And speaking of, this is a little bit of a, you know, exciting segment, if you will, as you've got Talladega kind of sandwiched in the middle, Jason, of 2.5 miles, and Talladega not being a cutoff race this year. Do you think that takes some of the stress out of Talladega and what it used to be?
I definitely think so. I mean, you know, you see the drivers on edge. You never know what's going to happen down there. Of course, any given track, you never know what's going to happen. But, I mean, you got them bunched up down there like they are. And, I mean, one little wiggle, and guess what? I mean, you've got 15 cars potentially just ravaged out there on that big 2.66-mile track. So, I do think it takes some of the stress off of it. But now, what could be stressful is – it's not only your best drivers out there that are capable of winning. Anybody can go out there and win and knock somebody out potentially.
Takes a win out of there. So out of the three race stretch that we have coming up, who of the remaining 12 drivers does that benefit the most, you think?
Not named Truex or Busch?
Yeah, we'll do that.
I mean, if you look at – I mean, the top three guys they're going to have to make a major mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, Truex is – he's got an 18-point lead over Busch, a 25-point lead over Larson. But then you start looking back from – there's a 39 – you know, Keselowski's 39 points back. McMurray is 56 points back. There's only a 17-point difference between 4th and 12th. So any of those guys have a bad race, any one of these racetracks. It's not just with the monster of Talladega that's coming up, but any one of those guys – has an issue, and we're limiting. We're at the point now where these are the 12 best drivers. I don't think you can pull anybody else that's below 12 off this list and say, man, they really deserve to be in there. I think these are the 12 best drivers in the sport. So it's this year. And if we could lose any number. Truex could have a bad couple weeks. He could wreck out, you know, and be in trouble. So it's a very fine line here, and this is a very interesting stretch because from this point going forward, we're eliminating really good cars, really good race drivers. So you've got to bring your A game every week. Some of the top three may have a little bit of wiggle room, but that 4 through 12 bunch is bunched in there pretty tight. You're going to have your A game the next 3 weeks.
It's almost like one of those things where if you have a good race at Charlotte but wreck at Talladega, it puts the pressure on you at Kansas. If you wreck at Charlotte, it really puts the pressure on you at Talladega to perform and stay out of trouble. So it's going to be kind of an interesting three-week stretch there where you have that because of the danger of Talladega and then the mile and a half on each side.
And see, that's another thing that tweaks me is moving Talladega from that final elimination race. Now, we had Grant Lynch on, the president of Talladega Super Speedway, a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned that Talladega is always an elimination race. Well, that's true, but the extra drama of – those guys needing to show up and run and try to compete at that monster was terrific. And what's NASCAR do? They change it up.
Take it away.
Take it away. It's always must-see TV, but it was super important being that final race in a stage. And it takes a little away from it and adds it to a track where we're going to see a lot of green flag running at Kansas.
What if you had Talladega as the elimination race for this segment and then Daytona as the elimination race for next segment going into Miami? It would almost be must see TV for me to have to end on two super speedways.
My thing would be is why not have a super speedway in one and why not have a short track in another?
Yeah.
You know, let's have a road course. You know, we're going to have a road course next year at Charlotte. Make it a cutoff race. Make Talladega have all your cutoff races be a variety of tracks. And if you're not going to tweak the schedule where all these you're not taking away a bunch of mile and a half, then have some of these different type races be cutoff races, and it'll give some people that maybe are short track specialists a chance to go out there and run well, or super speedway, a guy could come out of nowhere and run a race. It just brings some intrigue with this, you know, mile and a half, mile and a half, mile and a half, you know, cutoff is just, there's not a lot to it.
Absolutely. All right, we need to go to break. When we come back, we will give you our power rankings and picks to win. We'll be right back right after this.
Pit Stop Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz. This is the fastest hour in NASCAR. Buckle up and hang on. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
Welcome back to the Valvoline Instant Oil Change Studios and Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
I'm ready.
Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, that voice you heard, Scott Webb.
We're all ready.
Even better. All right. Let's Bank of America, as we mentioned, or B of A, or that bank, or the other bank, or competition. Sunday.
The bank that may not be named.
Right. We'll be on NBC and PRN. There's a reason Alex Hayden is playing like 8 rounds of golf this weekend or this week
He's got his time's coming up, though.
Yeah.
He's coming due. They'll be going to Talladega, and then they finished the race. I think MRN has just about all the races there in the last stretch.
Yeah, finishing out. It seemed like you said it was his last kind of hurrah before the last stretch of the season. You remember last year, what was it, at the end of the year? No, it was before the Homestead race. He was standing in the ocean talking to us on the phone
that day. Yeah, that was following up. We talked to him the week before when he was at Phoenix.
Right.
He had his golf clubs in his hand playing golf out there. So I don't have any love for him.
I know. You can't. So 215 will be the green flag. Stages will be 85 laps, 170 laps, and 334. So make sure you tune in there. Jason, if you're a betting man, and we don't condone that, but if you were going to pick an office shindig, who would you go with?
To win.
Well, to win this week? I mean, are we
going to
give...
No, we're not going to the picks. We're talking about the best average finishes.
Well, why wouldn't I just give my winner if I'm going to say, hey...
Well, don't do that, no. Because you didn't pick the best average finish.
I think the host...
I think the host should
ask better questions.
All right, let's rephrase this. Jason, we've got the best average finisher, so if you are in your office pool, and we don't condone gambling, but if you're in your office pool and going to pick a driver... What are the best average finishes for Charlotte with people with 3 or more starts?
Joey Logano, Jimmy Johnson, Denny Hamlin.
That was much better Matt Kenseth. I don't even know what he was trying to say.
Casey Kane, who's actually surprising there with an average finish of 13.6.
That was a long time ago.
13.6.
Yeah,
he that probably was back in the 9 car.
Probably used to be about a 6, and he's dropped to 13.6. Austin Dillon, who hadn't ran very much at the track, but at 13.9. Kyle Busch, 15
surprising.
Average finish.
By the way, Kyle going for his 3rd win in a row and to complete the complete circuit of wins at every racetrack. Charlotte is the only place he hasn't won a race.
He was dominating there a few years ago. Until
should have won in the 600.
There was a cable that about cut his car.
Well,
in
yeah,
half.
Cable right. And he could have won. He should have won the 600, but you know Dillon is. Went fuel mileage and won that race. So.
Brad Keselowski, his buddy, with the same 15 finish average. Kevin Harvick, 15.2. And Martin Truex Jr. With a surprising 15.7.
I'm sure that average is coming down, though.
Yeah.
And it's trending the other way. Kane's going one way. Martin Truex Jr. is going the other way.
He probably got a double down after dominating like he did earlier this year and last year. So. It's crazy. All right, let's get to power rankings because that's always a hot topic around here. So I'll go with the 18 being the number one in the power rankings, basically coming off
two wins.
Back-to-back. And it kind of makes sense who I put number two in the 78, who's got the other win in the playoffs. The 48, I think he's coming on. It's his time. Or as they say at UT a couple of years ago, it's time. So the 48... I think is...
It always surprises me, and I hate to interrupt you.
You just did.
But, and I really didn't hate to.
Why not?
That Johnson has struggled, really. I mean, you could really, if you look at these 12 drivers, you could honestly put him in the bottom third of that category. And, you know, and they go to a track where they've, I mean, they're batting like 500. I mean, he's won like 12 times at Dover or something like that and have a good run. And then all of a sudden, people think they've turned the corner. That's why I say this week is going to be really important to see what happens at Hendricks. If they're still, if they can get those cars back in the top 10 this week, then maybe they're onto something. But they're going to have to prove it to me first.
I think they are.
Sorry, go ahead.
That's okay. That would be the 48 of Jimmy Johnson, the fourth place driver. I've got Kyle Larson. And then I'm bringing my guy in, Jamie McMurray, in the fifth because these three tracks kind of.
Do you just like the one car? Or?
Well, I mean, I've got two Kyles and a Jamie in there. So yeah, that kind of makes sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Right. So I got the one in there. Plus, he runs well at Charlotte, and he's a pretty good super speedway car. So. He could definitely put himself in a good position after this weekend.
As calm and as his demeanor is, he is super aggressive at Talladega. Yep. He'll definitely be fun to watch.
Or he'll wreck somebody, yeah.
Or he will wreck somebody.
That does happen. Jason Hildebrand.
I'm going with the 78 of Martin Truex Jr. first in my power rankings. Second, Kyle Busch, I think you could interchange those, even though Kyle does have two out of the three wins. And like you said, you know, Truex with the other as far as the playoff races go. Going with Kyle Larson third. I'm going with Jimmy Johnson fourth.
Based
on, you know, the good finish at Dover and how well he has ran historically at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
No, that logic makes perfect sense.
And then I'm going with Brad Keselowski fifth.
What are you trying to say makes perfect sense?
I threw Brad Keselowski because he went and visited
Nick
Saban last week.
Well, it's because his logic made sense. Wow. It made actual
sense. As in my logic doesn't?
I mean, you can infer from that anything you want. I'm just saying, Hildebrand, the heater nailed it right there.
Well, let's hear your logic.
Well, I've got Truex Jr., the best car all year long, still sitting number one in my power rankings. Kyle Busch second, going for his third win in a row this week. Larson has been good, not great so far. But you know we're gonna have if he can survive this next round, watch out, and he'll be a force at Talladega. Should have won the Daytona 500 this year. I still have Kenseth and Hamlin in there. I think the Toyotas have been running much better and they've been more consistent. Hamlin with an axle issue this past week that knocked him out, but I like what they're doing. So again, I've got Toyota sandwiching Larson. Not a lot of change to my power rankings this week.
Just noticed that because you were the biggest, arguer last week of my Toyota dominance, and four out of your five cars happened to be Toyotas.
I think the only thing I did this week was flip flop Kenseth and Hamlin. I think they're running the best right now. Somebody else is going to have to step up and show me something. Is it going to be? I mean, other than Kyle Larson, I think he's been very consistent in a top five car. But anybody outside that group, you know, what have you done for me? Let me, you know, look at that list. What has Keselowski, although he had a good run this week, what have you done for me lately? Kevin Harvick has been okay, you know, just not seeing enough. It was nice to see the Chevys compete this week. But like I said, this week will be the big test.
All right. I'll give you a couple of seconds to think. Storylines coming out of Charlotte. What do you think?
My storyline will be I can't wait for the road course next year.
That's what it's got to be talking about next week.
I mean, that's
hey, road course next year.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to watch? They're going to run, what, 334 laps? Who wants to watch 300 green flag laps with somebody having a six-second lead? I mean, now, I could be totally wrong. It could be, you know, they could put that substance down. They could have multiple grooves. It could be an exciting race. Or it could be follow the leader and somebody kicks out to a six-second lead and we run 300 green flag laps.
I think you're going to see a wreck that involves a top playoff contender and a winner that is driving something other than a Toyota.
Even though you're predicting a
Toyota. Yeah, that's where I'm kind of wondering.
I'm saying there's storyline. I mean, who we think is going to win is right there. But
so
I mean,
what we actually call that here on the show is Jamie covering all factors there. So now he can predict a Toyota to win and say, look, I predicted a Toyota to win.
But
and
if then it doesn't happen.
If it doesn't happen, then he can go, look, I told you guys that something out of the ordinary is going to happen.
Is that
no, that's
you at all?
No,
I'm gonna go with a late pit road penalty costs somebody a race.
I like it.
Wow.
I like it.
All right. Picks to win. I'm going with the 78 Martin Truex Jr.
And driving a what?
A Toyota.
Yeah, Toyota.
And sorry, Kyle Busch. I would pick you. But
yeah, does it? Not, I mean, I did 2 weeks in a row. Fandom. There's got to be some fandom there.
Though. I didn't even bring that up. I won 2 weeks in a row. I picked the winning driver.
All right. I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr. myself.
That's because 2 weeks in a row you picked Kyle Busch. You just happen to win both weeks.
Isn't that what the game is here?
It is the name of the game. Well, I'm going to further piggyback on your pick, and I'm going to take Kyle Busch to win his third race in a row.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And to win for the first time at all tracks in the Monster Energy NASCUP series.
NASCUP?
Whatever.
Or NASCAR.
Car racing.
Yeah. Car racing.
Those things.
Going in circles.
Hey,
next year they won't just go in circles.
Is there anybody that's won three races in a row since the chase has started? Didn't Logano do that a couple years ago?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think he might have. That's the whole thing. He won Kansas, because Kansas is where he beat Kenseth that started that whole
Chicago. Chicago was that, and then because they had Martinsville, didn't they?
No, Martinsville is where he took him out. I think you're right, though. I think Logano had won at least one, two in a row, and he took Kenseth out that started that whole thing that ended up with Kenseth, running him into the wall in turn one at Martinsville.
And kept his foot on the gas, too.
Yeah, my foot slipped.
That's fantastic. All right. Well, we'll be back next week to talk about the results of the race at Charlotte this Sunday at 2:15. Make sure you tune in. Thank you for joining us today. This has been Racing Talk Radio. It has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems on 101.3 The Buzz.
This has been Racing Talk Radio, presented by Hiwassee Chase Air Systems. Join Jamie Collins, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand every Wednesday, 5 p.m. right here on 101.3 The Buzz or on your TuneIn app. This has been a production of Whitfield Media Group.